Good evening, everyone, and thank you for your presence here. It's good to be together for worship tonight. We hear a scripture lesson where Jesus teaches us something about the nature of God, and it's surprising. He tells an allegorical story about a landowner who pays workers the same amount, even though some only worked a couple hours and others worked all day. So there's something about what God is like in this passage that we will ponder. Let's take a moment in the silence to ask the Holy Spirit to bless our time together. Bless our service, Holy Spirit of God, and fill us with your wisdom and love. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. The first reading is taken from Judges chapter 9. All the citizens of Shechem and all Beth Millo came together and proceeded to make Abimelech king by the terebinth at the memorial pillar in Shechem. When this was reported to him, Jotham went to the top of Mount Gerizim and, standing there, cried out to them in a loud voice, "Hear me, citizens of Shechem, that God may then hear you. Once the trees went to anoint a king over themselves. So they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree answered them, 'Must I give up my rich oil, whereby men and gods are honored, and go to wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'Come, you reign over us.' But the fig tree answered them, 'Must I give up my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'Come you and reign over us.' But the vine answered them, 'Must I give up my wine that cheers God and men and go to wave over the trees?' Then all the trees said to the buckthorn, 'Come, you reign over us.' But the buckthorn replied to the trees, 'If you wish to anoint me king over you in good faith, come and take refuge in my shadow. Otherwise, let fire come from the buckthorn and devour the cedars of Lebanon.'" The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 21. O Lord, in your strength the king is glad. In your victory, how greatly he rejoices. You have granted him his heart's desire. You refuse not the wish of his lips. For you welcomed him with goodly blessings. You placed on his head a crown of pure gold. He asked life of you. You gave him length of days forever and ever. Great is his glory in your victory. Majesty and splendor you conferred upon him. You made him a blessing forever. You gladdened him with the joy of your face. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 20. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, he found others standing around, and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
One of the most important and meaningful questions a human being can ask is, what is God like? What is God like? It's a little different question than, what is God? Or, is there God? What is God like? Now, some people answer that question by saying, can't know. There's no way to know what God is like. Other people say we shouldn't even ask the question. And some people ask the question and propose some answers, some of which are really bad, and some of which are really good. In other words, some answers to the question, what is God like, aren't useful anymore. And other answers to that question are very useful and very important. And from this parable that Jesus teaches about this analogy of the owner of this vineyard and what this references to God is really interesting. So just a couple things to think about. First of all, the landowner is portrayed as going out and roving and looking in the community, in the town square. And this is a wonderful image of divine love moving outward. And we know this now cosmologically, that light is emanating out and continues to move at 186,000 miles per second from the moment the Big Bang occurred. So if you just think of that light moving into the edge of existence, as an image of divine love going out into the created world and the universe we live in, it's a beautiful image of love seeking to become known. And it becomes known through us and our consciousness. Every night this summer, June, July, and August so far, I have sat out in the back of my apartment in Bee Cave, overlooking a dark area. There aren't too many homes. And the stars where I sit are very visible. And I have sat there every single night this summer, at different times, sometimes at 10, sometimes at 2, sometimes at 5. And I've done this because I couldn't not do it. I was drawn to the stars this summer. And many occasions as I've looked up at the stars, I am confronted with this overwhelming sensation of, how can I know anything at all about God? It's as if the stars are so silent, how can there be God? Much less, what is God like? And then all of a sudden, it's like a mirror coming back at me. The very capacity to ask the question is revealing something of the nature of reality that I'm a part of, and that the universe, and I literally touch my skin, these stars up there that I'm seeing, somehow I'm a part of this. That this thing that is knowing that it's not the stars and the stars aren't me, that there's something massive going on here, is in some sense part of what it means to know God, to know that we are not the creators, to know that we are contingent, to know that we're a part of something bigger, and to know that that divine love that has gone out into the marketplace of this planet and probably all the other planets of some sort of life having on them, divine love goes and does something to those planets to quicken human beings to know more of what this God is. Another thing about this parable that teaches us something about the nature of God, what God is like, is that God is free. The landowner says, am I not free to do whatever I want with my money? And this is a really powerful idea of the freedom of God to be whatever God wishes to be like. And this terrifies us because we want to box God in, but God is utterly freedom. And that freedom might be the very condition in which God lives and operates and moves, and in which we have our existence in this freedom. That God is the ultimate non-contingent energy. In other words, God is not dependent upon anything or anyone. God is the source of our freedom. And this becomes a really interesting thing to think about, that God freely enters into relationship, that God is free to not reveal itself, that God is free to do whatever God wants. And who are we to say? But the freedom is qualified in this parable. It says that, am I not free to be generous? And that's the third quality that I think this parable teaches us about the nature of what God is like. That there is a generativity, a generousness, an outpouring in reality, in our existence, that is generous, that is benevolent even in its generosity. That life is pure gift, and we discover ourselves alive. We don't turn a switch on. We don't ask to be born. We have no say in the matter. We discover ourselves alive as these contingent beings who ask the question, does God exist? What is God? Where is God? The fact that we even ask the question is something of generosity, because God wishes for the question to be asked. God in some way wishes to be known. And the fourth and final aspect of this parable that teaches me something about God is the trickster nature of God, that God is a trickster. And this tricksterness is rooted in the freedom and the generativity, that we have no idea what God is up to. We really don't. We discover it. We can't control it. And the trickster shows up by doing something that assured that the people would be grumbling, the workers would be grumbling. The trickster pays the people that started working last, first, assuring that all the other workers would see that they got paid a full day's wage. Now, the vineyard owner could have paid the people that started at 6 a.m. the full day's wage. They would have left and gone home and then gone through each hour as how they started and finally come to the people that started at 5 o'clock. And no one would have known that they got paid the full day's wage for only 2 hours' work. But that's not what happened in the parable. the vineyard owner is a trickster and wants to do something and does it and causes all sorts of problems for the people, psychologically at least. So this might lead to the ultimate thing that God is like. That God, at some level, wants us to work. That this is the essence of the story, is go out and work. You're idle? Go work. Wait a minute, you haven't found your purpose yet? Go work. I'm going to put you to work. And so this heart of the parable teaches us something about the nature of God. That God somehow, in some way, wants and maybe needs co-laborers to bring about whatever this thing is. That we are created as self-developing organisms, a part of a living ray of creation on this planet, and that somehow our presence here and our efforts here do something to the field of consciousness that is planet Earth, to the species that are human beings, to the culture that is evolving, and to the destiny of the universe at some level. This little speck in the sea of stars plays a part. So I find the question, what is God like, to be a most powerful question to answer and ask. And we can't ever say we've figured it out. In other words, we leave it open. We discover what God is like by knowing ourselves more. And the more we know ourselves, the more we understand and know a little of the nature of God. It's a beautiful mirror. Certainly God is more than any human being, more than any insight or wisdom you might have about yourself or myself. And certainly the silence that the universe gives to us when we ask the question is humbling and hard. But when you get people together after a shooting, for example, or a bombing, or a tragedy, or a trauma, how you answer the question what God is like becomes very, very important. And all of a sudden, these moments of life where a big question like that is very important, you might want to think about it before you answer or give someone your thoughts on it. It's a very powerful question to ask. And perhaps if you've grown bored with life or feel that your purpose may be blurry, or that there's a certain sense of what's the point of it all, ask the question, what is God to me? What is God like? What is my image of God? Because that has the capacity to lift you up out of your life, out of my life, out of the day-to-day ordinariness, and think about life from a different perspective, to think about source, to think about the quantum field of possibility, that God is free and generative, loving, going out, a love that wishes to do something and calls human beings and probably all sentient beings and all the planets in the universe, calls us all to work, to participate in the flowering and the flourishing of the thing God has initiated, that we call the universe. Ultimately, we're all just little souls, silent before the stars, wondering. Utter amazement. And that's a really good place to be, in complete amazement of the mystery that we get to see and participate in and even ask the question. That's the gift of consciousness that we've been given. How will we use it? Amen. God, the grace of Christ, peace of the Holy Spirit is calling each of us to work, to bear good fruit, and to understand. Amen.